Nothing can stand against our God. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. I'll be reading, beginning with verse 28, and focusing on those two passages that are on the screen. You can check your devices, or you can look in the Red Pew Bible on page 743. So that ought to have that covered where you can find it. Some like to underline in their Bible and so forth, and I do that in my study time. It's always a privilege to stand behind the sacred desk of a pulpit in any church and bring the message of God on any occasion. And I've had the privilege of doing that in over 40 of our Beaver Dam Baptist churches over the past 25 years in this association. It's always been a blessing to do that. So when the deacons asked me to fill in for a couple of Sundays, I said I think that I would be willing to do that for sure, to be a blessing. Let's read God's Word together. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 28, what is taking place here is this is part of Jesus' life during the final week of his ministry upon this earth. And this story that I'm about to read to you took place on Tuesday, just before he was arrested and put to death on Thursday and Friday. So that'll set it in its context. This is what was happening. Verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he, that is Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Let's pray. Gracious God, as we open up your holy word today, and as you have prepared our hearts, dear Lord, for this beautiful music, we ask, dear Lord, that the words of my mouth, dear Father, would be blessed by you and directed by you, but also the meditations of our hearts, dear Father, would be sincere and open to what you have to say. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, "Mr. Rogers, Jesus, and the New Year." Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but I got to tell you the story behind my message. Back in Thanksgiving, we took a trip to Texas to see our son's family out there. And after Thanksgiving, our son and his wife took us to a movie to see the new movie, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood," starring Tom Hanks. Some of you have probably already seen it. It is now out on Blu-ray and DVD and all that other stuff. But if you've not seen it, I really want to encourage you to see it. But the movie, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood," which is a story about a journalist who was given the assignment to interview and write a 500-word essay or an article about the TV icon Mr. Fred Rogers. Now, many people who were children during the 60s, 70s, and the 80s probably remember watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood every afternoon. Now, during that time period, even though I was in college full-time and working part-time and pastoring churches on the weekend, my wife and the children would tell me about Mr. Rogers when I got home. So our children really enjoyed that. But the first thing I want to say is Mr. Rogers believed and truly lived out the teachings of Jesus. I was glad that our son took us to this theater. It was an excellent movie theater. As a matter of fact, it had these overstuffed chairs. It had buttons on the sides. I was afraid that I would touch that button and be thrown out of the balcony. So I sat there like this, you know. But it was a very, very nice theater. But anyway, as we watched that movie, I was so impressed with the way Mr. Rogers took the principles of the teachings of Jesus and he wove those into his shows on television. Later on, I found out that Mr. Rogers had a college degree in music and a seminary degree in children's education, as well as being an ordained minister. So is it any wonder that the ministry that he had, and he considered that a ministry, by the way, on television, was grounded in the Word of God. And so as I was reviewing that, and I would occasionally, you know, see that on television, but who can forget Mr. McFeely and Lady Aberdeen and Chef Brockett and Cousin Mary Owl and Nurse Miller, just to name a few. And also he had the simple hand puppets with the names like Daniel Striped Tiger. I don't know if he was a Clemson Striped Tiger or not. But anyway, and King Friday the 13th, and Queen Sarah Saturday, and Lady Elaine Fairchild, and many, many more. Then there was a television house that, where you could see the fish tank, where he would teach the children the responsibility of taking care of God's creation. And then there was also the trolley that would carry the children's imagination to explore the neighborhood of make-believe. And maybe this doesn't sound as exciting to the children today or as exciting as the new Star Wars movie. I'll grant you that. But it really is more down to earth than the Star Wars movie, not to use a pun. But according to Mr. Rogers' homepage, I quote, "Everything on Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was done out of concern for the children's feelings." Now, as I watched that movie, I became more and more aware of the theme of kindness that ran through the life of Mr. Rogers and all the episodes that he starred in on television. And as we left the movie that day, we began to talk about, you know, that movie and the fact of that. And the theme of kindness just kept on coming back to my mind. And I kept on thinking, you know what? That's really what's missing in our country and in our community. And may I say, in some of our churches, is the basic teaching and demonstration of kindness. God would not allow that movie to go by. You know, you go see some movies and say, hey man, that was a great entertainment. The popcorn was terrific. The drinks were okay. You know, the candy was great and all that. But I didn't have any of that at the movie. But I focused on the movie, and as we were driving home, I began to think more and more about this, that 1,000-mile trip back. And God would not let that out of my mind. And he said, I want you to develop a sermon about this someday. So I began when I got back on the 1st of December to develop this sermon. And there are spiritual truths here that you and I must understand, I believe, from the life of Mr. Rogers. You want to know why? Because it goes back to the scripture I read earlier, and I'll ask Tracy to put that back up there. Because Jesus taught that we are to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, we're going to camp here just a minute for my second major point, because I want you to understand what Jesus is saying right here. Jesus is quoting scripture from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 6:5 and from Leviticus 19:18. And folks, as far as I can understand, this is very, very basic Christianity. Many of you who are football fans, you recall the great football coach Vince Lombardi, who coached the Green Bay Packers to many, many world championships in those days. Well, they had gotten overconfident, and they went out and played this game, and they lost the game. Story goes that the next day in practice that Vince Lombardi came in, he had everybody sit down. They didn't even go to the field. They didn't even dress out, I'm told. But he held up an object, and he said to them, gentlemen, this is a football. You know what? They had forgotten the basics. They had forgotten the basics. It would be like a music teacher saying to her students or his students, students, this is a half note. Or a librarian saying, this is a book. This is where we begin. This is very, very basic. And you and I must remember the basics that we are taught. Jesus' reply instructs us that God is to be loved with all of man's four powers. Look what he says right up there. Our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. Now, that's everything we can be. As a matter of fact, mankind is to love God with our total, with the totality of our being. And that is a challenge that Jesus puts before you and me today, is do we love God that way? How do you love God today? Would that describe your love for God today, or is it just a Sunday morning love for God? It's Sunday morning, I'll just go and I'll just sing about Jesus. Or is it also a Friday love, a Saturday love? Is it a love? Is that my love for God today, that I love him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind? I love him with the totality of my being. I pray it is, and I desire it to be. But I confess that I falls short many times. And then Jesus tells this scribe and us, I believe, that with the same love that is given to us by God, that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, certainly, I believe this was the primary goal of Mr. Rogers, to teach the children. And so we have to stand before our Lord like the scribe, and Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and then we have to ask, do you really love your neighbor? You might say, well, I could love my neighbor if he was Mr. Rogers. Or you might be saying, well, it's not always a beautiful day in my neighborhood. Come and live there sometime. But in Luke's parallel gospel, which you can find in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verse 25, when you look at Luke's account of this, it has his saying right here that in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and the scribe stood up and put him to the test, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you go into that scripture, and then down in verse 29, the scribe says, and who is my neighbor? Now, what's interesting is, he says this to Jesus kind of sarcastically. You don't want to know why? Because he wanted to justify himself. He wanted to say, I'm really good, but I'm going to trip you up, Jesus. And so he said, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus begins to give him an illustration. And Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've been on that road before, and some of you who have been to the Holy Land have. And he fell among robbers, and they stripped him, and they beat him, and he went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side also. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, or another word is kindness, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his beast, and he brought him to the inn, and he took care of him, and on the next day he took out his Visa card, and he said, if there's any more charges, you put them on my Visa card. When I come back through, I'll pay it. Gave him 2 days' wages, denarii we call them. But take care of him. And then Jesus says to describe, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? And the scribe said, the one who showed him mercy. The one who showed him mercy. Wasn't always the religious one. Wasn't always the one who knew the scriptures. Wasn't always the one who worked in the temple. As a matter of fact, this individual, as you know, if you know anything about biblical history, this individual was from a despised country called Samaria. The Jews would go around Samaria. They'd shake the dirt off their feet if they accidentally got close to Samaria. But Jesus was saying, here was a man who was kind. He showed kindness to this stranger. Jesus taught that if we love God, we will love our neighbor also. This is basic Christianity. 101. Paul would write about it in 1 Corinthians 13:4 when he would say, love is kind. We talk about loving. Love is kind. The Good Samaritan was basically a kind man who showed mercy and compassion on the person who was in need. But the second thing here I noticed, Jesus quoted the whole verse from Leviticus 19:18, and he didn't leave it out for the scribe, and he said, and love your neighbor, and then he said, as yourself. As yourself. Now, I want to camp there for just a little bit. Now, why did Jesus want the scribe to remember the whole verse? Because you see, you and I, we can take scripture out of context. We can quote the ones we like and leave out the ones that we don't like. But Jesus wanted to make sure that he understood you're not only to love your neighbor, but you're also to love yourself. That really bugged me. I went to the scripture. I went to the commentaries, and this is a quote I found by Malcolm Talbert from my commentary. Quote, love for the neighbor is made dependent on one's attitude toward one's self. Without a proper concept of one's own value as a human being, it is impossible to have the right attitude toward a fellow man. Arrogance, contempt for others, and prejudice are basically all an expression of low self-esteem and inner insecurity. That's a powerful, powerful commentary on that little phrase, as yourself. The root of some people's problems begin when they really don't like themselves or what they have become. This often causes them to treat others in a bad way. And Jesus came to show us God's love and to help us to know that we are worth something to Him because we are of His creation. He has created us. Go back and read Psalm 139. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He not only created us, but He sent His beloved Son to die on the cross for our sins. We're sinful people and we need Jesus. We need His blood to cover our sins, to make us righteous before a holy God. Someone has said, I love myself because I am a creation of God and God don't make no junk. Poor English? Sorry, but great theology. God don't make no junk. Again, Mr. Rogers had a goal of teaching children to love themselves because of their value. And so the question would be, is do you love yourself? Do you really love yourself? The Apostle Paul would call it that love and kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22 through 26, we read, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and kindness, it says right there. Paul was writing here to Christians. He was writing to several churches in the area called Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. And Paul states that the gospel is the message of grace that calls for faith, and we live that out by showing our kindness one to another and loving one another, which includes loving ourselves because God loves you and me. Now, these are verses that I was challenged to memorize many years ago when I became a Christian. Still memorizing them, still trying to work on them. And oh, by the way, God's still working on me, okay? He's not finished yet. But I have a desire to do that. And then if you look further down in verse 24, I believe we've in Galatians 5, 24, I believe we have a formula for victory there, where Paul writes, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What's he saying there? I believe he's saying there that you and I can love, we can have love and joy and peace and kindness and all of that toward others if we're willing to crucify the desires of our flesh on the cross, as Jesus died for your sins and mine. Someone has said the only problem with offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is that we want to keep on crawling off the altar. How many times we go to the altar? How many revivals do we attend? How many concerts or crusades or whatever? And we make those commitments. And then we just want to crawl off the altar and live our own way. Jesus is saying this is basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. So in the movie, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, you must go see this. A reporter asked the reporter who was assigned to do this job, he didn't want to do it, by the way. He couldn't believe how genuine Mr. Rogers was. He watched Mr. Rogers work on the set. He would go have a meal with him. He would ride the subway with him. He even went home with Mr. Rogers. And all of that. And he saw the different subjects that Mr. Rogers would include on his program, such as bullying and death and being hurt emotionally and so many, many other issues that Mr. Rogers would cover. And so he asked Mr. Rogers one day something like this, how can you be so positive in such a bad world? How can you be so positive in such a bad world? Well, Mr. Rogers, he wasn't an ostrich. He wasn't sticking his head in the sand because he recognized we live in a bad world. But he told this gentleman something to this effect. He said, when I feel that closing in on me, I go to my music. I play my piano and I sing my songs, many songs of faith and so forth. And then he said, I would go daily to my Bible and kneeling in prayer, I would pray for people by name. It had a little book of people's names. A unique characteristic of Mr. Rogers is every time he met a person, he really wanted to know their name. He just didn't want to say, hi, how you doing, and walk on. He wanted to know their name because individuals were important to Mr. Rogers. But the application of this basic Christianity in his life was to take his cares to the Lord. That, to me, is what made Mr. Rogers, in real life, grounded in God and his word. That's what made him so effective in the ministry to children on television. He had learned from Jesus' teaching that we demonstrate our love for God by being kind to our neighbors in this world, no matter who our neighbors are. Just demonstrate that love and demonstrate that kindness. So then the third point I'd like to say is, what do we do about all this that we have learned from Mr. Rogers, who really learned it from Jesus, as we look forward to the new year? Now, keep in mind, I prepared this message back in December, but we're not that far still into the new year. But all that I've said up to this point really comes down to this, to being challenged as to what we have heard about compassion and mercy and love and kindness and goodness, and then taking that into the new year. And so, Tracy, could you put up that other slide there for me? Tracy, there you go. That one right there. Okay. So many people will make New Year's resolutions. Have you all made New Year's resolutions? I stopped making them a long time ago. Some people, hey, look, I know, eat healthier, exercise more, lose weight, and read my Bible through this year. Okay? How about making a resolution you're just going to show kindness this year? Can you imagine what would happen if everyone in this building would go out and show that this year in this community and wherever else you go? Throughout the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you this story. It's not in my notes. I saw on Facebook a friend's picture. Or not picture, but she wrote on Facebook that she was down here at McDonald's in line Saturday morning, going through the line trying to get her family some food. The lady behind her was very, very impatient because she wasn't ordering fast enough, so the lady flipped her off. I won't do that in the pulpit at all, but you know what I'm talking about. Of course, she was shocked, and she wrote this on her Facebook, so it's public. I'm not sharing any private information here. So when she got up to the window, she paid that lady's way. So when that lady got up to the window, she got a free breakfast, and she went on. That's kindness. When people don't show you kindness, you show them kindness. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So as we look into the new year, throughout the Old Testament, we find many acts of kindness. And as you and I think about this, here's real application. When you look in 2 Samuel 9, you will see where King David, after all the battles were over and the war was won, but one of his best friends was killed. His name was Jonathan. And David became king, and many of you know this story. And after a while, David said, you know, I want to do something for Jonathan's heirs. Is there anybody in Jonathan's family that I can show an act of kindness to? And they said, yeah, there's his crippled son, Mephibosheth. And you know that story. But the point is that he was looking for people to show kindness to. It has to be intentional. In the New Testament, we have these verses of Scripture. I already read one. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. 2 Corinthians 6:6, in everything, in kindness. Simon Peter writes, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply brotherly kindness. Man, what a great New Year's resolution. Just remember kindness. On a TV talk show on December the 17th that my wife and I were watching, the host was interviewing a prominent religious leader. If I told you his name, you would know him. But he'd be the first to admit that he is not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But this person was sharing with the host that back in October of 2019, he said, I spent a lot of time fasting and in prayer, asking God to show me what he believed you know, was going to happen in 2020 so this person could gear his ministry in that direction and so forth. And he said God spoke some words to him about the coming new year, 2020. And the guests began to share these. So I began to write these down as fast as I could. And these are just some of the statements that impressed me. First of all, he said, prayer intercessors have been holding our country together, but there will be changes coming. Prayer. That's the difference in our country and many other countries. God's people in our country are interceding on behalf of others and praying, and we need more intercessors. And then he went on to talk economically. He said there will be more confusion in the economy in the coming year. And then he said in 2020, politically, and this statement blew me away, those politicians on both sides of the aisle who refuse to listen to God, God says, I will remove them from their office. Spiritually speaking, he said this, there will be a great movement among young people like there was in the 60s and the 70s. And some of you remember those years. They called it the Jesus people, the Jesus movement. God got a hold of young people in this nation and it flipped their generation upside down for Jesus Christ. There is a movement among many young people in America and in the world, even today. And then he also said this, there will be a wonderful change in the kingdom of God from Jesus because of his love. Did you get that? Because of his love. And then he concluded, intercession and supplication of God's people is so important. Meaning the church needs to pray for our nation. We need to pray for one another. And we need to live out what Jesus taught us. Now, I'm not asking you to accept all those predictions. You may or may not want to, and that's okay. But I just want you to consider them for a while, that this came from a man of God who felt God was saying this back in October of 2019. So in conclusion, what should be our response and responsibility? Three things. Pray like you have never prayed before. Pray like you have never prayed before. For our churches, for our nation, our world. Number two, prepare yourself by becoming more informed. You can do that through all kinds of ways. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said that, you know, everybody who preaches the Word of God ought to at least have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in another. Well, newspapers don't exist for many people today. Just try out your device and get on the social media, but learn what's going on in our world. Number three, practice kindness. And I've said that over and over and over and over. Kindness and compassion and mercy. Wherever and whenever God gives you that opportunity. And now I want to close with this quote right here. In the 1970s, when I was in college over in Georgia, Corrie Ten Boom came to speak at our church, in our chapel. If you don't know the history of Corrie Ten Boom, she was a survivor of the Holocaust and the German Nazi prison camps, where over 6 million Jews were put to death some 75 years ago. And I want to leave you with this quote. If you look at the world, you're going to be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. And the call, of course, is basic Christianity. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And I think that was a lifelong lesson that Mr. Rogers had learned. So what's it going to be? Distressed, depressed, or at rest in Christ for you? I want to be at rest in Christ for me. Always looking to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the example of Mr. Rogers, a man who wasn't about a lot of flair and wasn't about a lot of popularity, but living out his faith through a simple TV program for children. but yet he affected so many lives, dear Father, and ultimately affected the life of this journalist who came to write about him. All because he knew Jesus. And that's the Jesus that we come here and worship today and focus upon today. And I pray, dear Father, today, that as we go through our time of transition in this church, that you would always be honored, that we would look to you, dear Father, for guidance every step, every day, and that our desire would be to see you glorified. Heavenly Father, I pray that if you've spoken to anyone's heart here today about wanting to know more about this Jesus, that when we sing our invitation hymn in just a moment, that you would give them the courage to come down and perhaps speak with me or maybe linger after the service, whatever the case may be, or later in the week to talk about them accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and asking him to forgive them of their sins. Perhaps there are others here who might just simply want to join the church. However, God, you're speaking in their heart. This is your invitation, and we turn it to you. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ray, would you come? I'm going to ask that you stand for our invitation hymn as Ray leads us. I'll be down front. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day of worship, this morning, dear Lord, when we've gathered in this place with one purpose in mind, and that is to worship you, to lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to depend upon the Holy Spirit to come down upon us, dear Lord, to speak to our hearts through music and through the message and other means, dear Father. We just pray, God, now that you would be with us as we go forward into this coming week, dear Father, with the challenges you have given us. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.